Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for those watching on YouTube. And with open Bibles, may we open our hearts this morning. We need to hear from you. You tell us, as the good shepherd, that your sheep hear your voice. And may you speak to us through your precious word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that it is powerful. Your word is powerful. The gospel is powerful unto salvation. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And it's a truth that sets us free. And so thank you this morning that we can gather here together as your people with open Bibles, open hearts, and hear the truth in a world, unfortunately, that's filled with a lot of fake news. Thank you for the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. And so our first verse this morning, in the introduction of this epistle, an epistle means a letter, we're introduced to the writer. In ancient days, the writer of a letter always opened with their name. Today, unfortunately, we close the letter with our name. I like this way better, so you know right off the bat who's writing to you and where it's from. In those days, there were many men by the name of Paul, and so the writer had to further identify himself and confirm to his readers his identity. In verse 1, we are given his name and his credentials. Name is Paul. His credentials. Isn't this interesting? A former Pharisee, a former member of the Sanhedrin, large dog, if you would, religiously, had been humbled on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. His name was Saul then, which means asked of God. And now the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the name Paul, which means little one. And what a lesson that is for all of us. When we come to know Jesus Christ, John, the Apostle John, tells us that I must decrease that he might increase. And guess what? The less of us that shows up, the more of Jesus Christ that shows up in our lives. And that's so important today, that I must decrease that he would increase. And so here we have Paul, little one. And isn't it interesting that he mentions right off the bat that he is a bond servant, a slave? How sad it is the way we treat that word today. Being a slave is a derogatory term. But you know what? If you're a born-again Christian and you're a bondservant of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, greatest in the kingdom of heaven will be the servant of all. And as you know, being a Christian, there's no greater blessing than serving others, is there? Doesn't your heart get lifted up when you get to bless somebody somehow, some way? And God opens the doors every day for us to do that. Even a drink of water for someone. Even a hug. A word of encouragement. There are people all around us every day whose hearts are down. People are devastated today by what we've seen go on, not only in our country, but in the world today. And people need encouragement. The word encouragement means to impart courage to. And you and I have that gift. Also, the Lord has given us the gift of love and compassion. Love from above, agape love, unconditional love for people. We don't judge them by their outward appearance. We have the love of Jesus Christ, Paul said, that constrains us. Not only that, we have compassion. Interesting word. Compassion means your pain in my heart. Are you desensitized to people's pain and suffering today? I hope not. I hope you have the heart of Jesus Christ, that we can be sensitive to those around us that really need love and encouragement. And so evidence of Paul's humility is seen here in verse 1 as he opens up his letter as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. No better place to be than a servant in the house of the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that God would allow us to serve him and to serve others? Paul chose to be a slave. He chose to be a bondservant. totally and completely dependent upon his master. And that's what it means to be a believer today. We are totally and wholly dependent upon our master. Kurios is the term. He's our master. He's our Lord. We need him desperately for everything. And the more we walk with him, and the more we serve him, and the more we get to know him, we find how we are in desperate need of him for everything. That last breath you took, that was a gift from God. That last beat of your heart, gift from God. Everything that we have, every good and perfect thing comes down from our Father in heaven. And so rather than boasting about his apostleship, he calls himself a bondservant. He said he is called to be an apostle. It's not something he chose to do. Jesus Christ is the one who calls. Jesus Christ is the one who commissions those who are in ministry. Ministry is not a career, it's a calling. How sad it is, unfortunately, there are people in our country and throughout the world where ministry is a job, a career. It's not a career, it's a calling. I think it's so important to recognize and realize that. Our willingness to serve and obey our master enables us to be usable and useful servants to do his work. And that's another miracle, isn't it? That God would use you and I to carry out his plan. Imperfect people to carry out his perfect work. Jesus, the greatest in the kingdom, he said, is the servant of all. Apostle is an interesting term as well. It's one who is sent forth. That's what the term means. An apostle to be sent forth. It says here, Jesus called Paul. Jesus sent Paul forth. An apostle is also one who has seen the risen Christ. That's what Scripture tells us. 1 Corinthians 9:1. I get disturbed when I turn on the television set and I see people who use the term apostle for themselves on these religious programs. Pride, arrogance, a lack of the knowledge of God's word. And so Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, and it was then that Jesus commissioned him. He knocked him off his high horse, made him eat dirt, if you would. Paul looked up and saw Jesus Christ and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He calls him Lord right off the bat. He knew who he was. And he was commissioned by Jesus to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Isn't that interesting how God works? He takes a religious Jew who looked down his religious nose at those Gentiles. Unclean, unclean. But yet look what God does. He takes this former Pharisee, knocks him off his high horse, and uses him to reach the Gentiles. Gentiles, of course, are non-Jews. So he's one who had seen the risen Christ. He's one that God is going to use in an incredible way. And look how here we are here this morning reading Paul's epistle because God used him to reach the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. And I chuckled too as well. Here we sit, a bunch of Gentiles, in a Jewish temple. God's got a great sense of humor. And we're the cornerstone of the building. And guess who the chief cornerstone is of the church? Jesus Christ. Pray for these precious folks upstairs. The Bible tells us that Israel is the apple of his eye. And look at the flack that the Jews are catching today. Just look at the newspaper. Last week with the earthquake, Syria and Turkey. Guess who the first ones were to go and bring aid to those two countries? Israel.
No.
Yes.
Please. Brother, Israel destroyed that country. Please do not talk about something that did not happen.
Jesus said,
I'll be monitoring that thing by the second. There's no aid came to Syria.
We're going to have to ask you to leave, please. Thank you. The Bible says, I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. Very clearly. They are the apple of his eye. Yes, the country is in a backslidden condition, but there is always a remnant. God has had a remnant of his people there for centuries. And I thank God for the Jew, because I am saved today because of the Jewish Messiah, because of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that has radically changed my life. I apologize for this morning, but I find it interesting. I was told years ago that when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that barks the loudest gets hit. We need to pray for that man. Let's pray for him right now. Father, we just lift up this man to you in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would open his eyes to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ministry is exciting. Verse 1 also tells us that Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Notice verses 1 to 4. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You know the interesting part of, one of the interesting parts of the Epistle to the Romans is the name God is mentioned more than 153 times in this epistle. And it's the gospel of God. Gospel means good news. And it is good news, isn't it, that God sent his Son into this world to pay the price that we could never pay, to pay the price for all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so here we see, before his conversion, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was separated to the law and tradition of the Jews. And when he got saved, he's now separated to the gospel, which means good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is good news. The Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. The gospel is not some new message. It was promised thousands of years ago in the Old Testament. It was foretold in the Old Testament. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey, that was prophesied. And when he rode into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey, he fulfilled over 330 Old Testament scripture verses. But yet people today, many still don't believe. The salvation which we enjoy today was promised by the prophets all the way through the Old Testament, even from the first book, the book of Genesis. In verse 3 it says, Jesus Christ is God's Son. That again was prophesied. Isaiah 7:14, he would be born of a virgin. It was prophesied that he would be a seed in the family of David. That's the messianic line. I remember before I came to know the Lord, I had a little Old Testament or New Testament that they gave us in the Army when I was in Vietnam. When I'd get in the jam, I'd open it up and try to read it. And I would read Matthew chapter 1 and go, what's all this begot stuff about? Begot, 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 begot. And what it is, it's fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies that Jesus Christ would be through the root of Jesse, and that he would be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he would be of the family of David. Again, prophecy after prophecy. And again, look at verses 4 to 6. And declared to be the Son of God, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. And so this is the gospel that Paul preached and still is preached today. For the salvation of souls to both Jew and Gentile. What a precious gift God has given us. And that's why Paul was so adamant about getting the good news out. the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Notice in verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had not visited Rome yet. He was writing this epistle from Corinth. We'll talk a little bit more about Corinth in a moment. And as we see in verse 10, his desire was to visit the saints there. He had heard about the work that God was doing in Rome. And isn't it amazing that God would take a city like Rome, steeped in sin, and he would pour out his love and grace and mercy through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there would be a great work that was going on there. The church at Rome was established by believers who were saved at Pentecost. You know the story, Acts chapter 2, verse 10. And they had established the church when they returned to Rome, probably with a little home fellowship or something, and it began to grow. Called to be saints, it says in the second part of verse 7. That's what you guys are. If you are a believer, if you're born again, if you are a Christian, a child of God, you're a saint. Amazing how that word has been perverted. A saint is not something we bow the knee to or that we put on our dashboard. A saint is one who is set apart. That's what the term means. You are all saints who believe. We are set apart ones. Those who are set apart saints for Jesus Christ. Notice as well, as saints were saved by his grace, we experience his peace as we now have peace with God. Verse 8 to 15. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. Look at that. Just a small little church plant in Rome, and look what happened. Their faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, verse 9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. And that was Paul's heart's desire. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. It doesn't say exactly what that gift was, but the greatest gift of all is love. Paul wanted to go and share the love of Jesus Christ with them, and also, I'm sure, to encourage them to preach the word, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And isn't it wonderful? He couldn't wait to get to Rome to share that mutual faith. And isn't it wonderful as believers, sometimes we go on vacation or whatever, or go to different states or cities, and we find a church, and it is amazing how many times you walk into a church where there's like-minded believers, and it's like family. It's amazing. You have this unity. You have this love. It's through the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is talking about here. The mutual faith of both you and me. He says, now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks, which are Gentiles, to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Notice in verse 8, Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. What this does is Paul lets us know right off the bat that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. He's the go-between. The Bible tells us very clearly there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ, period. It's no other small g God. It's not another saint with a capital S, and it's certainly not Mary. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And the reason Paul could even say my God is because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the Bible very clearly says in 1 John 2:23, he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And it also goes on to say that he who has the Son has the Father also. And I've shared many times that I used to pray the Lord's Prayer, repetition, mindless repetition, our Father who art in heaven, and he was not my Father yet because I didn't have his Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. And that's so important to know. Here now, the Apostle Paul calls him my God. Paul thanks God through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because there's one mediator between God and man. And Paul thanks God for Jesus, through Jesus, that their strong faith was being spoken of throughout the whole world. What a testimony. Why have we dropped the ball today as far as testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ with our faith? Look at the media we have. We have texting, we have internet, we have cell phones, we have Instagram, all this other stuff. Is the gospel being preached throughout the world? It is amazing today how we have all of this technology, but yet very little mention of Jesus Christ and how to have a relationship with him. I don't think that they had any idea of Paul's unceasing prayer for them either. Paul heard of this new work, and Paul was praying for this new work. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray for other churches. We need to pray for other ministries. And Paul unceasingly prayed for this work that God was doing in Rome. He also prays that he would find a way in the will of God to come to them. In an interesting prayer. Why? Because Paul's going to get there. Have you read the book of Acts? It's interesting how we pray things, and sometimes, many times, we're all guilty of telling God how to do it, right? You've never done that. Pray for me. But it's interesting. Oh, yes, God will answer Paul's prayer, but Paul's prayer will be answered in a way that he never expected it to happen. What do you mean, Pastor Joe? I'm glad you asked. When he did finally arrive in Rome, you can read it, Acts 28:16. He was in chains. He was a prisoner for his faith. Wow. He didn't go first class like many ministers today in their own private jets. Paul was in chains. He was a prisoner. He also prayed for a safe trip. He did arrive safely. But guess what happened in the meantime? After he got arrested, after he was slapped in the face, after he was shipwrecked, do you know Paul was shipwrecked 3 times? I bet when Paul put a Christian cruise together, he had a hard time getting people to sign up. Shipwrecked 3 times. Not only that, he was bitten by a poisonous snake. But he got there. Yeah, his prayer was answered. But you know what? Paul was diligent. He did not count his life dear to himself. Imagine what it must have been like. Three times being shipwrecked, day and night, in the sea. Unbelievable. But yet this man was committed, and his prayer was answered. Not in his timing, and not in the way that he expected. That's why when we pray for something, when we ask the Lord for something, don't limit his options. And don't let Paul's experience discourage you from praying. Back in Acts 9, the Lord told Ananias that Paul is a chosen vessel of mine. You remember the story. He also told Ananias that Paul would bear his name before the Gentiles and kings in Israel. And also, the Lord told Ananias that Paul would suffer many things for his name's sake. Times haven't changed a whole lot. We don't suffer like Paul did, but you know what? Sometimes we have to take a shot because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes people get offended when they find out we're believers. Sometimes, you know, they use the Lord's name in vain and they curse God and all, and it hurts. And sometimes people come against us and they attack us. But keep in mind, it's not you that they're attacking, it's he that is in you that they're attacking. It's Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. Unless it's your flesh. If you're being persecuted for your flesh, you deserve it. But if you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're persecuted, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, the Bible says. Verse 11 and 12, notice. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me. He longed to see him. They were family. To impart a spiritual gift, to encourage them by their mutual faith. And again, he was hindered, as we saw a moment ago, by those things that tried to keep him from getting there. But also because there was so much to do in Asia Minor and in Greece, Paul was being hindered and being kept there to do a great work for God. Yes, he was ready to preach the gospel in Rome. But as it is true in every form of ministry, it is all in God's timing. Everything is in God's timing. I know a lot of you are praying about certain things. In his time. Don't we sing that? He makes all things beautiful in his time. We need to wait. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And sometimes the only way we can develop patience is by waiting. People don't like to wait today. You've noticed that in the red lights that get run around here. People think a red light is hit the gas. Crazy, isn't it? Look at verses 16 and 17. As I was reading this week, I thought I could spend the whole morning just on these two verses. Look what he writes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to what? To salvation. For everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I love this verse. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Nor should anybody be that stands in God's pulpit today. It bothers me when people water down the word. It bothers me when people avoid certain scripture verses. It bothers me when people avoid certain sins that have been legalized in America today. You know what? The day that I don't love the gospel of Jesus Christ, you won't see me in this pulpit. And I'll tell you why. I have observed and I've seen and I've heard from Christians over the years that it is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that has broken the chains of sin on them and set them free. The gospel, as it says here, is the power of God to salvation. And if people aren't hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're just having a religious service. Oh, I love the verses that encourage me. But some of the greatest verses I've ever heard out of the Bible have convicted me and broken the chains. We have a couple of folks here that are in the jail ministry and prison ministry. Do you know there are people in jail and in prison that are more free than some people that are walking the streets today? They've given their lives to Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're behind bars, but the chains are broken of the that which held them captive. And we have people walking around here all around us that think they're free that are in the chains of sin. And we're going to talk about that more in a moment. Why? Because I am not ashamed of the gospel. We're going to hear the gospel this morning. Don't twist it. Don't skip it. Don't change it. Don't delete it. Don't water it down. And how tragic it is for someone to have to apologize for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many do today. those compromisers, those who are ashamed of the gospel, go get a job. Get out of God's pulpit. Because James 3:1 says, not many should teach, because one day you will receive a stricter judgment. I learned early on by a pastor by the name of Skip Heitzik in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that when I am sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have an audience of one, and I'm only here to please him. I want to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. And it's the truth that will set you free. And the reason I share the things that I do out of God's word, every cross T, every dotted I, every yacht tittle, is because the truth will set you free. And how sad it would be for someone to go looking for hope and looking for their chains to be broken and not to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He loves them. He loves you. He loves me. That's what the gospel is. Gospel means good news. It says here it's the power of God unto salvation. It is for everyone who believes. It saves people from hell. Hell is real. The lake of fire is real. Heaven is eternal. Hell is eternal. Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. The good news about that is we won't have to go to hell. We're going to spend eternity in heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. Why would we ever want to water it down or change that? Look at the price that Jesus paid for mankind. He took all of our sin upon himself. Shame on those who would tamper with the word of God. Good news. It's the best news. God's plan of salvation. Eternal life. To get us to heaven. We're to believe it by faith. That's all he asked. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We're to live by faith, walk by faith, because the just have been justified by faith. I love that word, justified. I hyphenate it. Just if I'd never sinned. That's the way God looks at you and I when we accept his son. He casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, deepest part of the sea, remembers it no more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh yeah, the enemy tries to give us the replays. That's when we take every thought captive and cast it out. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation. And notice it's for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed by faith to faith. That is written, the just shall live by faith. He does not tell us we live by feeling. We walk by faith. Just ask Paul. Sometimes faith doesn't feel good. Shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous snake. You know, the list is endless with Paul. But you know, walk by faith, hold on to Jesus Christ, hold on to his word, and he will see you all the way to the end. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the power of God to salvation. Praise God. Verse 18. Again, this is God's word. I'm the mailman. I'm delivering the mail. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How sad. Would you say we're living in those times? We are calling good evil and evil good today. We are taking God's laws and God's word and turning it around, legalizing sin. God's law is God's law. I remember in the 60s, you young people can Google this one. Breaking rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. Aha, we got some oldies here. The law is going to win. The law is the law. The law is God's word. No one's going to change it. I don't care what you legalize. If it's not according to God's law, one day they're going to have to stand before a holy God one day. Why? Because the wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven one day. A couple of books ago, we were in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming. And I've, over the past few weeks, shared prophetically some of the things going on in Israel. that are signs of the return of Jesus Christ very, very soon. Don't buy green bananas. We're that close. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against how much ungodliness and how much unrighteousness of men? All of it. God keeps really good records, except for our sins, which were atoned for by Jesus Christ. He remembers that no more. But the sins of man, they are storing up for the wrath of God one day, as they will have to stand before the great white throne judgment one day and be judged for their sins. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And for thousands of years, God has revealed his truth and his law to mankind. My Bible tells me even the creation reveals the glory of God. But even people today try to disprove creation. I'm a monkey's uncle. Give me a break. We were created in the image of God as a reflection of Almighty God. And he created us male and female. A man is a man and a woman is a woman. We'll talk about that a little more in a second. For since the creation of the world, notice the word creation, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Look at what we see today. Look what science has discovered and continues to discover. I have a Jewish friend that studied the human eye for 20 years. And he said, I only scratched the surface. Imagine that. Just our human eyeball. And then we have a mind and we have a heart. We have emotions. We have feelings. We can communicate, walk, talk. I mean, it is absolutely just the human body itself is an incredible miracle of God. He created us as a reflection of him in his image. And they're without excuse. I cannot figure out how a person could be a scientist today and be an unbeliever. Because, verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Would you say that's true today? People today want nothing to do with God. People today are wise in their own eyes. People today's hearts are darkened. Ours were before the light went on. Because we were alive physically, but we were not alive spiritually. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins, the Bible tells us that the person of the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us spiritual life. We're born again. Second birth. Notice. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. How many people are thankful today for what they have? Very few. They became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice this. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The Bible very clearly says in the book of Proverbs that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And look at the foolish things that are being taught today in kindergarten, elementary school, junior high school, college. Look at the ridiculous things that are being taught today to our children. Gender confusion. Gender confusion. Can you imagine that? How sad. One day they're going to have to give an account. And now they're trying to legalize pedophilia in America. A couple of months ago, I read an article in the newspaper where a lady married her dog. I'm going to leave that one alone. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Then changed the glory of God. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. How often do you go into a place and see all these idols, animals, all these weird, creepy things that people worship today? Therefore, God also, and he will, he still does, gave them up to uncleanliness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Eventually, God will give you up to whatever it is on the throne of your heart. There's only one thing that deserves to be on the throne of our heart, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And notice what it says here. He gave them up. And if people persist long enough in their sin, he will give them over to it. And we're going to see that a little bit more here. Check it out, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Would you say that's true today? And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forevermore or forever. Amen. And today, look what's going on. People are worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. And guess what? People worship themselves. One of the biggest gods in America today is a god of self. It's all about me. Me, myself, and I. How sad. Jesus said, anyone that follows me, deny yourself daily, pick up your cross and follow me. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me, is to get rid of this old self, crucify it, and now walk with the Lord with the cross, putting death to self and to the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all that stuff that just destroys people. Notice, for this reason, again, God gave them up to vile passions. For even the women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Lesbianism. We have an acronym today, LGBTQ. It's become just like everyday language. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and queer. And look what we've done in America. And again, I am sharing the truth so that the captives can be set free. I'm not damning anybody. I'm not putting anybody down. It's the truth that's going to set you free. And when I heard the truth about Joe Coleman 40 years ago, it totally busted me. And I just had, got down on my face and begged God, have mercy upon my soul. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. That's why we have the truth of God's word here. How sad it is that God gave them up to vile passions. As many of you know, we did 12 years in Vermont. We planted a church in Vermont. Vermont was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. I remember the day that they did, the day that they signed that paper. You know why? We had an earthquake in Vermont that day. Hello? How often do they have earthquakes in Vermont? All the farmers were shaking in their boots, literally. He gave them up to vile passions. God talks about sexual immorality in the Bible. It is destructive. It is unnatural. Leviticus 18:22, I'll read it to you. God's word, God's law. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. That's God's word. Also, chapter 20. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. It's the truth. And it's the truth that's going to set you free. But look what we've done in America today. Let me read a letter that Paul wrote out of 1 Corinthians when he was in Corinth, Greece, to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Bless you. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage. I came from the fornication generation, the 60s, free love. Now we become a fornication nation. Free love, sex. Sex is part of everything. Movies, television programs, TV commercials. I can't even mention commercials from the pulpit that I've seen on TV that pollute your mind and pervert your mind today. Things that we have legalized in America. Porneia is the term. Pornography. Idolaters, nor homosexuals, nor adulterers, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's God's word. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm giving it to you today just as God wrote it. This is the truth, my friend, and I share it in love with you if you're struggling with any of these things. I'll tell you what, most of that list I was involved in. Sad. I was a full-blown drunkard, alcoholic, druggie, till I heard God's 12-step program. Step one, repent. Repeat step one 11 times. Thanks be to God, I haven't had one single drop. Being a former alcoholic, not one single drop of alcohol in 40 years. And I've never even desired it. And other things here. He goes on to say, but such were some of you. Were, past tense. Meaning that Jesus Christ can set you free from all of these things and more. But he says, don't be deceived. God's not going to be mocked. Give it to him. That's why he came, to die a brutal death on the cross for you and for me. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. What is the natural use of the woman? I'm going to be straight up with you right out of the book of Genesis. Marriage. Husband and wife. God gave marriage. The covenant between a husband and wife. God gave them sex as a beautiful gift. So they could be fruitful and multiply. Procreation. How sad it is we've made it recreation today. And I think it's so important we realize and recognize God divinely designed sex between a husband and a wife. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error which was due. Sad. Look how times have changed. When I was a teenager, the guys were girl crazy and the girls were guy crazy. Well, look how times have changed. People are just crazy. I'll move on from that one. Look, this is the reason. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Again, this is not Joe Coleman's opinion. This is what God says in his word about sexual immorality, period. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters. I almost feel like I'm reading the front page of the newspaper instead of the Bible. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. That's heavy. Look at the last part of that verse. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Meaning, you may not be practicing these things, but you approve of them, you're just as guilty as those that practice them. Heavy stuff. But it's God's word. And as we could tell at the beginning of the service, it's a spiritual battle when you proclaim the word of God. You have it here before us today. The good news, Jesus Christ loves you. The gospel of God, this is his incredible plan. He loves you so much, he gave his precious son for you and for me to die a brutal death on the cross. So that we might be delivered from the chains of sin that bind us And so that we could become children of God, and so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him instead of in hell. As we close, as I usually do, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ if you've never done that. It's the greatest gift anyone could ever receive. To be forgiven completely, past, present, future. Have a new heart, a new mind, a new life. And I'm the recipient of a new marriage with the same woman. Tina had filed for divorce. And God healed our marriage. We're getting ready to celebrate our 48th anniversary. And I'm only 5 years old. Yeah. If you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand right now and invite him into your heart to be your Savior as we close. You guys all got it, huh? Okay. Next step. When we leave this place, that's a mission field out there. Go out to the lost with compassion, their pain in your heart. Go out to the lost out there with the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. We don't have to beat them. We need to love them to life, not beat them to death. And that doesn't mean compromise. We're not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. But what they need is to see real love. Because an old song that I used to sing again, looking for love in all the wrong places. And they're looking for love out there in all the wrong places. You and I have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You and I have the good news in a world that's filled with fake news. What we need to do is take what we have and give it out. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. And I pray in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And so help us, Lord, to hold on to you and to hold on to your word. And help us, Lord, to be filled overflowing with your Spirit. And we would take the good news to the highways and to the byways of the Coachella Valley as to America and the rest of the world. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, and thank you, God, that you would use us for the furtherance of the gospel. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.